If you could please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. We have been going through this book. It's an absolutely amazing book. And we are in the final chapter. And it's interesting, the last three chapters are all about faith. Chapter 11 gives us examples of what it means to live by faith. And then chapter 12 encourages us to live by faith. And then chapter 13's evidences of our faith, very practical ones. And last week we talked about loving people. We talked about being hospitable towards people. We talked about having empathy towards people, people who'd been put in prison, people who'd been mistreated. And I just want to start off by just sharing how this church body has actually reached out and done some of that. Oh, wait a minute. We're a little bit ahead. There we go. So this church body participated in the Cleburne Pregnancy Center Walk for Life, and it went great. There were a number of us who did the walk. A number of you contributed towards the walk. This is one of the ministries that we support, and there are a lot of people who've come to know Jesus Christ through this ministry. If you go and visit, they have a little wall and a cork boards on it, and they have little crosses. And each cross represents someone's soul, just like our roses represent someone's soul who put their faith in Christ. Those crosses do that. So thank you for that, church. We also went to Hill College this past week and served about 75, maybe, students and facility administrators, teachers, most of whom don't know Jesus. And I know that's a small picture, but right there, you can't see that. That's one of the desserts that was made. And there's just some crumbs left. That's all college students usually leave, right? But never worry. Heath and I, we're more than willing to take care of that. just another opportunity to reach out to people in love, to show hospitality to people, to have empathy. These students maybe are trying to figure out, you know, God, where do you have me going? Or maybe they don't even know God. So we did that. And See at the Pole was this past week. And here's a picture of the junior high. And it's awesome to see this. They are on their knees praying to God. So God's called us to love one another. He's called us to have hospitality. He's called us to have empathy. And as Lou said, He's called us to trust. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as I think about that statement, I go, yes, I believe that. I really believe that. But I also think that sometimes I struggle with believing that. Because the reality is, I'll find myself seeking another way. Perhaps you have too. Jesus said, I am the way. And Jesus also said, I am the truth. And I'll find myself listening to lies. This world is full of lies. And it's so easy to get caught up in the lies and the hype of this world we live in. But Jesus said, I'm the truth. And Jesus said, I am the life. And yet I can find myself looking for life in something other than Jesus or in someone other than Jesus. And I struggle with it, and I know you do too. It's the human dilemma. And two areas that are absolutely huge that we struggle with this in are relationships and our finances. In our relationships and in our finances. You see, we were created by God to live in relationship. In Genesis, it says, after Adam was created, remember, Adam is at this point without sin. If you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, he's never sinned. The world is absolutely perfect. And there's animals, and he's named the animals. And there he is in a perfect relationship with God, and it says that this isn't good. God said, this is not good. He's alone. He doesn't have a relationship. And so God created Eve, his perfect companion. Absolutely perfect companion. We've been created for relationships. And we need finances, do we not? I mean, it takes money to live. Jesus said, pray, Lord, give me today my daily bread, please. You know what we're praying for? We're basically praying for money or whatever form of money we need to use to eat and sustain ourselves and live. These are all good things. The problem is when we go outside the boundaries that God created for us. We go outside the boundaries, and these boundaries are created so that we can live in such a way that we are blessed, that we bless other people, and that God's glorified. God did not give us boundaries because he's some tyrant. You know, have you ever seen those claymation movies that at Christmas time, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town? Burgermeister, Meister Burger. You ever seen those? We watch, it's a tradition for our family. We bought them and we watch them. And here's Burgermeister, Meister Burger, you know, and here's all these poor kids. And he's like, I want no fun. There'll be no toys. No toys. You know, God is not Burgermeister, Meister Burger up there going, you will have no fun. No fun whatsoever. It's wrong to laugh in church. Never laugh again. Right? We wore. The team up here wore black because of the first song that we sang, but I'm not like, we should wear black every Sunday, you know, just come in. No, God is not like that. He gave us boundaries because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for others. He knows what will glorify him. But we're tempted, are we not, to go outside the boundaries, especially when it comes to relationships. And intimacy in relationships. We want to go outside the boundaries God has given us. When it comes to our possessions and finances, we want to go outside the boundaries that God has given us and want more. And yet Jesus said, I'm enough. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because you see, Jesus is better. The book of Hebrews argues that Jesus is better, that he'll satisfy your desires and passions, that he will meet your needs, not wants per se, but your needs. Even when you're tempted to go apart from him and go your own way and believe the lies of the world and seek life through something else, he's still there and he can still satisfy you if you'll turn to him and boldly approach his throne of grace. You see, the book of Hebrews argues that Jesus is better than any prophet who ever lived. Jesus is better than any angel who might visit you when you practice hospitality, like verse 2 says. He's better than Moses, the hero of Israel. He's better than Aaron and the priests. He's better than the old covenant. He's better than all these things. Jesus is better, and he can satisfy our deepest longings and desires and needs. So let's start off. Let's just dive right into this. Verse 4 of chapter 13 says, marriage should be honored by all. And what that means is that we should highly esteem marriage. It's the building block of any culture. Marriage is the building block of any culture. That's why the devil attacks it so hard. We should esteem it, we should honor it, and we should keep the marriage bed pure. God wants us to do that. And what's happened is we've gone to extremes. We've got the free love extreme. It's like if you love someone, it's Katie bar the door. You can do whatever you want. Hey, you're in love. You're in love. Last week we talked about love. Love is a choice. It's not just a feeling. You know, when I do weddings, I like to use songs that maybe people know, like Boston's song, More Than a Feeling. It's more than a feeling, you know. Maybe do that sometime. Lou, you have to get your voice ready. We did do that. I must be getting old. I think I am. Yeah, it's more than a feeling, right? And if you've seen Princess Bride, love, true love, true love, true love, true love. And the world doesn't understand true love. The world doesn't get it. And it says, hey, if you love somebody, you can do whatever you want. That's the one extreme. The other extreme, which I don't see a whole lot of in America, is called asceticism, where you say, I'm not going to be with anybody ever. And I can remember back when I was a single man, hanging out with some other single guys, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 7 that we would quote to one another. Just in passing and kind of as a joke, we'd say, hey, don't forget, it's better to marry than to burn. It's better, did you get that? You get that. It's better to marry than to burn. Hey, don't forget, it's better to marry. Yeah. God, it's better to marry than to burn. You said it. Right? So unless you have a special gift, which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7 of celibacy, then no, you're created for a relationship with somebody, right? So those are the two extremes, but there's a right place and a right time to be intimate. And that boundary is called marriage. It's called marriage. And here's the reality. The devil will do everything he possibly can. Here's a strategy to get you to experience intimacy before you're married. And then he will do everything that he possibly can to keep you from experiencing intimacy after you're married. That's his strategy. Did you hear me? He'll do everything he can to get you to experience it before you're married. And then once you're married and you're within God's boundaries and it's going to be a blessing to you, it's going to be a blessing to your spouse, and it's going to glorify God, the devil doesn't want you to do that. That's his strategy. That's what he does. And the reality is, and I stole this, forbidden fruit creates a lot of jams. Right? It does. It does. It creates jams, does it not? It creates jams. So, let's just get real. I like getting real. Quote from a 17-year-old young lady named Kelly. My parents tell me not to have sex. But they never explain why. They just say, hey, it's wrong. It's sin. And I'm sick of hearing this over and over and over again. Well, Kelly, if you're in the audience, which I seriously doubt, but if you were, I'd say, you know why your parents are telling you that? They're telling you that because they care about you and they love you. Because your parents know, and maybe through their own mistakes and not following the way, the truth, and the life, but they know that there are consequences. And they love you. And they want to speak the truth to you because they care. They care about you just like God does. Because you see, the rest of this verse where it says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure says this: God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. And you know what he's done right here? He's basically included anybody that falls into this trap. From adultery to sexual immorality, and the Greek word's porneia, from which we get the word pornography, which is a huge challenge. I mean, that industry has made it so easy to see it. I mean, they are the cutting-edge technology in the world in terms of the internet. They are. Because they want to figure out the quickest, fastest, easiest delivery method to get it into the minds of, guess who? Young people in particular. And so God's saying, no, there are consequences. There are consequences to going outside of God's boundaries. And the consequences go beyond the physical. There's emotional, there's mental, and there's spiritual consequences. God's word says, flee from sexual immorality. In other words, if you find yourself in a situation where it's going too far, you know what it says? It doesn't say, stop, drop, and pray. It says, get out of there. Why do you think God would say that? The same reason I'd say that to my boys. Because you are not strong enough to resist. You are not strong enough. So get out of there. Flee. Run. Go the other direction. All other sins a person commits are outside their body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. I read a book called Hooked, and a quote from this book, scientists confirm sex more than just physical. It has powerful, even lifelong changes to our brains that direct and influence our future to a surprising degree. It's scientifically and behaviorally inaccurate to try and understand it as though it has no impact on the rest of who we are as human beings. It impacts your emotions, it impacts your health, it impacts your habits, and it impacts your nature. For good, if it's within God's boundaries, or for not good. It's far too integral to who and what we are as human beings. So there are consequences that transcend just the physical, which everyone's already heard those, right? I don't know if they still teach sex ed in junior high anymore, but there are physical consequences, right? But we often don't think about the fact, no, it transcends that. It goes beyond that. There's also addiction. Like anything, you can become addicted. God says in Romans 1, God gave them over to their sinful desires, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies. What that's saying is you're addicted to this. You've gotten to a point in your life where you have to have this. You have to have this. I have to be in a relationship with someone, whatever. I have to have it. And and Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying, I can satisfy you. I can satisfy you, right? So that's another consequence. And we know the ultimate consequence for a person who never does turn to Jesus Christ is eternity without him. You know? So this is important stuff. It's important stuff. Jesus Christ satisfies our desire for intimacy. He can and he will if we'll turn to him. He'll satisfy us. If you're single and you don't have someone, the Bible says to approach his throne of grace with boldness. You're single, you don't have the gift of celibacy. You know what you should do? You should go boldly to God and say, God, you created me for a relationship. I am lonely. I'm longing for intimacy. I need someone in my life. Give me someone, Lord. Why not? I mean, my kids have no problem whatsoever coming up to me and saying, hey, Dad, hey, we're going to Los Campesinos. Can I have some cash? Hey, Dad, hey, would you drive me up to Dollar General? Because I want to buy some candy. Hey, Dad, you know, right? Right, guys? Right? You have no problem whatsoever coming up to me anytime, day or night. Could be falling asleep on the couch. And you're, Dad. Our Heavenly Father tells us to do the same. He says, boldly go before the throne and ask him. Ask him. He's saying, trust me. In my perfect timing, in my perfect way, I'll provide someone for you. Real world examples. People you know. Russell Wilson. He's been dating this young lady, and they've both decided we're going to wait till we're married. Real world example. I love real world examples. Hey, you know, he's come out publicly and said that. Carrie Underwood. Married, I can't think of the fellow's name. He plays in the NHL. Decided, I'm going to trust Jesus on this one. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. Ask him. And here's the thing I want to tell you. I want to tell you this because, and I'm not going to go into any detail, but I became a Christian when I was 24. And I had the wrong kind of relationships before that. And I'll leave it at that. God showed me that there is a better way. When I met Judy, God had shown me there's a better way. There's a better way. There is a better way. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when you follow his plan and stay within his boundaries, he's going to bless you and you are going to bless others. And God's going to be glorified by it. And if you're falling into this trap, you know what you can do? You can boldly approach the throne of what? Grace. Because God is a God of grace. I want to say that again. He is a God of grace. There is no sin in this world that he won't forgive if you just humble yourself and approach his throne of grace. There is no sin that God won't forgive. There's nothing that you have done in your past that he will not forgive. If you will just go before his throne of grace and say, Lord, forgive me. And after you've done that, say, Lord, help me to believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help me. Get me plugged into this church. Get me around people who are going to help me go down this path. Run the race. Choose the right thing. Help me, Lord. And you know what? He will. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know why I know that? Because he says it in his word. He'll satisfy your heart if you'll come to him. Humbly come to him. I don't mean proud. You know how many times I've taken my kids to get candy when they've come up and said, Dad, I have to have it now. I need the money. Come on. Cough up the cash. You know how many times that's been successful for them? Anyone want to venture a guess? Never. It's not happening. What? Your leg's falling off? Sorry to hear it. Why don't you go back to your room and come back later and try again? I'm exaggerating, of course, but our Father's the same way. If we approach him with pride, he's going to be like, no, come back again when you're ready to humble yourself. then you can boldly approach my throne of grace. And it says you'll receive mercy and grace from him. You'll receive mercy and grace from him. Our finances. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. The Bible says you cannot love both God and mammon, or money, or possessions. It extends beyond money, but usually we think of, you know, Benjamin Franklin's, you know, and different bills, right? When we think of mammon, money. The truth is, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so I thought I'd demonstrate with my wallet, right? What's in your wallet tells you what's in your heart. It tells you what's in your heart. And I look in my wallet, and there's nothing. So, I mean, I do love my wife very much. I'm just being silly. She does a great job with everything. But, yeah, what's in your wallet? Do you love money? The Bible warns us not against money. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. It warns us against loving money. And the world, you know what the world does? The world challenges us to want more. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the world challenges us to go, yeah, but you're not enough. Jesus, you're not enough. We may not verbally say that, but we mentally think that. And then we start living that way. You see, the devil's got a strategy. And his strategy here when it comes to finances is, I believe that you can be bought. I believe that you can be bought. And I think one of the tools he uses, and I'm not saying credit cards are evil. They can be. If you have a love for money, they can be. You know, one of the tools he'll use is this credit card. Because you know what a credit card's all about? It's all about instant gratification. It's all about meeting my need. I want it, and I want it now. Can I afford it? Absolutely not. But I want it now. You know, our culture has changed. When I was a kid, I remember I found a Schwinn Varsity bike. I still remember it. I loved that bike. It was blue, you know, it was a 10-speed, and I saw it in the Schwinn bike store, and I told my parents, I want that bike, and they said, get a job. And they did. And so I started working with my dad. My dad had a construction company, and I'd go out there, and I'd work, and he'd pay me. Looking back, he paid me pennies on the dollar, I thought, but that's only fair. He's like, okay, son, I'll pay you full, but I'm going to start charging you room and board, so you might as well just give it all back, right? But anyway, he started paying me, and it took me the whole summer, and that bike cost me $110. You know why? Because I sweat for that bike, and it was on layaway, and I couldn't touch that bike till I made the final payment, man, and I loved that bike. I loved it, right? I'd go ride that bike. I'd get back home. I'd get out my dad's WD-40, man. I'd spray that thing down. I'd wipe it down. I mean, it was a fine machine. I mean, right? But the devil's going, no, no, no. Just pull out the credit card. Just get whatever you want. Don't worry about it. It'll satisfy you. And we all know it's just like Christmas gifts, right? If your hopes at Christmas aren't in Christ, if they're all in what's under the tree, you know in a few days you're going to be severely disappointed. Because it can't satisfy your deepest longing and your deepest needs. Only Jesus can. There's a parable Jesus told about this rich man. And he's being blessed and he's going, whoa, look at all this grain. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to buy more silos, basically. I'm going to fill up all these silos with my grain. And the Bible says, you're a fool. Don't you know that tonight is your last night on earth? Don't you know that? I don't know if you've thought about it, but the truth is, it's just like playing Monopoly or the game of life. When you're done playing the game, you put it back in the box. You know, it's the old saying, have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? I haven't. We don't keep any of it, right? Only that which we give to the Lord lasts forever. We don't keep any of this stuff. And yet, Satan's strategy is, I want you to fall in love with it. I want you to live for it. I don't want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow whatever. What are you ambitious? Whatever it is, whatever you're ambitious, follow that. try and find fulfillment in that. And he's laughing. He's laughing. You know why? Because when we try and find fulfillment in this world, if we actually get what we long for, then we really realize it doesn't work. Tim Keller talks about these movie stars. Bruce Willis is one of them. And they just work their tails off to make it in Hollywood. And they all made it. And he said, there's some of the most miserable people that you'll ever be around. And he believes the reason why is this. They've reached the height of their career. They're at the pinnacle. They have more money that they could spend. And they're going, this isn't giving me what I want. Do you see that? Do you see the devil's lies in this? Do you see what the Lord is teaching us and telling us? You see, Jesus Christ can satisfy our personal needs. You know what our greatest personal need is? It's him. Think about that. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You know what your greatest personal need is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I will never leave you, no matter what your circumstances are. I will never, ever leave you. It's interesting. There's commonality between these two things, between immorality and greed. And here it is. The first thing that both hold in common is they're inherently selfish. Immorality in and of itself is selfish. It's really all about you getting your desires met, me getting my desires met. Greed is the same way. It's selfish. And because it's selfish, it reveals that we really don't love people. You know, the world says, oh, you're in love, you can do whatever you want. And you know what I say to that? If you're really in love, then marry that girl. Put your money where your mouth is, buddy. Right? If I had a daughter, I'd say, you love my daughter? Prove it. Prove it. Before you guys go any further, prove it. Marry that girl. Show me that you're committed to her for the rest of your life. Show me. Show me. Don't just talk the talk. I want to see you walk the walk. Walk the walk. And greed does the same thing. You know what greed does? Greed causes us to take advantage of other people, to use other people. Right? It's a lack of love for other people. And the bottom line is this. Both reveal the fact that you're trying to get our needs met without Jesus. Without Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're saying, well, Jesus, you're not enough. You're not enough. But we can say with confidence, Lord, you're my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Whatever my circumstances are, my need for a relationship, my need for finances, I'm not going to be afraid. What can this world, mere mortals, do to me? Remember, Jesus is with me. God plus one is a majority. What can this world do to me? Nothing. Nothing. C.S. Lewis said, he who has God and everything has no more than he who has God alone. Well, let me back up, sorry. He who has God and everything has nothing more than the one who has God alone. They're on equal ground. I asked Anthony and Christina if I could share this story. Anthony has been working out in the oil fields, and he was shocked by his employer the other day because they just out of the blue decided to let him go. Not because of anything that he'd done. He was doing a great job. He was working hard. But they decided we need to cut back, and guess what? You know how it works. Newest guys get cut first. Guys with tenure stay. And so he was one that was on the chopping block. And I remember he came here to Chambers Creek and went in my office and he was telling me what was going on. And I said, let's pray. Let's approach the throne of grace. God, you love this family. God, you want to provide for this family. God, please do so in your perfect way and your perfect timing. And was it the very next day you got hired? And that God doesn't always do it that quick. But in this case, he did. The very next day, they got hired. And then just a few days later, Christina texted me and said, I can't believe it. I don't remember if you said you almost fainted, but it's like, the doctor sent us a check for hundreds of dollars, saying, I guess they overbilled you or something. It's like, boom. Does God own the cattle on a thousand hills or not? He owns it all. He knows what we need, not what we want. He knows what we need. And you know what? When we go before the throne of grace and boldly approach our Father, He'll give us what we need. If my son's starving and he comes up to me and says, Dad, I need whatever, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to feed him. Our Heavenly Father's the same way. He's the same way. So Jesus satisfies our desire for intimacy. Jesus meets our needs. And we don't have to learn from our own experiences in this. We can learn from the experiences of others. And so what I'd like to do, I have a couple videos I found. And the first one, I want to set it up. It's a video of Roger Staubach back in 1975. And I have to admit, Roger Staubach was one of my heroes back then. And I would love to meet the man again. Honestly would. But I looked up to him. So back in 1975, he was on TV, and they had this interview with him, and I want to play this, and then I'm going to talk a little more about it. Go ahead, Mike.
Roger, you have an all-American image. You're kind of a straight guy. Do you enjoy it, or is it a burden?
You interviewed Joe Namath. Everyone in the world compares me to Joe Namath, you know, as far as, you know, the idea of off the field. He's single, bachelor swing, and I'm married and family, and, you know, he's having all the fun, and, you know, I enjoy sex as much as Joe Namath. Only I do it with one girl, you know? But it's still fun.
Roger,
okay,
you have an...
that's good. Now, I thought long and hard about playing this clip because God in His sovereignty put us on this passage on this particular day. You see, I go off in October and plan for the next year, and I literally write out the sermon series for the following year. So, God, this one's on you. This is where we are. But the reason why I chose this clip is because I still remember it. I saw that when I was 6 years old. 6 years old. And I still remember what my hero said to this day. I still remember what Roger Staubach said. He's basically saying what God's word said. Marriage should be honored, the marriage bed kept pure. Hey, yeah, I know Joe Namath is a quarterback like me, but he's chosen a different way to live. He wants to live completely outside the boundaries. I've decided to live inside the boundaries, and I'm loving it. Man, I remember that. That was Roger Staubach, you know? And I'll just add this little bit. Do you think that a man like Roger Staubach could have anyone he wanted? I mean, within reason, of course. You know. Well, maybe you don't. He could. I played college football, and I saw some things happen with the stars on our team. You imagine if you're a professional athlete and you're one of the best in the world, what kind of temptations out there? Crazy. And he's basically said, no, I'm going to stay within the boundaries. And God blessed him and God blessed his wife. And God's been glorified. Just now, God was glorified. Here's Roger Staubach saying, listen to God. Listen to your Heavenly Father. Listen to Him. And again, I want to say, if you've fallen in this area, go to the throne of grace. God will forgive you. God will pick you up out of the ashes, and He'll set you on the right path. And the right path is following Jesus. And He'll help you do that if you really want that kind of help. He'll help you do that. I have one more clip that has to do with the finances. If you could play that, please, Mike. Thank you. bottom line to our message this morning is this. Jesus satisfies. Jesus will satisfy your deepest longing for intimacy. And Jesus will satisfy your greatest need. And so I want to encourage all of us, including myself, to learn this verse, to hide this verse in our hearts. It's the memory verse for this week. It's Philippians 4:19. And it says this, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.